This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, March 27th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, a new Florida law prohibits children under 14 from having social media accounts, regardless of parental consent. We'll hear about how this would work in practice and whether the law has implications beyond Florida from WSJ reporter Sarah Needleman. And then, at a recent energy conference in Houston, energy and tech executives could not stop talking about artificial intelligence. WSJ reporter Catherine Blunt tells us why the AI boom is fueling an insatiable appetite for electricity and what that means for our future energy consumption. But first, the biggest social media platforms have tens of millions of teen users in the U.S., according to a recent Pew Research Center survey. Now, newly signed legislation in Florida prohibits people under the age of 14 from having social media accounts. The law is set to take effect on January 1st, 2025. WSJ reporter Sarah Needleman joins me now with more about the new law and some of the challenges of implementing it. Sarah, what are the current rules about protecting kids online?
There is a federal law, the Children's Online Privacy Act, that applies to children under the age of 13 in terms of making sure social media platforms and other websites aren't collecting too much personal information from children. And that also would apply to advertisers that are putting ads on these applications and would include video games as well. But as far as the platforms themselves go, they each have their different rules and different strategies for keeping children safe. If you go to the App Store, you'll see that some of them say for ages 12 plus. But as far as how they enforce that varies from application to application.
What does this new Florida law entail? And what would social media companies have to do to comply with it?
The law is requiring social media companies to close accounts believed to be used by minors under 14. It cancels accounts of minors 14 or 15 years old at the request of the minor or the parents and delete all information from the accounts. And minors who are 14 or 15 can obtain a social media account with parental consent in Florida once this law goes into effect. There are a lot of specifics that we don't know in terms of how they would go about this. But according to the law, they want a third party to help with age verification. It's just unclear how exactly that would take place. Age verification is a bit of a thorny issue for social media companies and other online operators. Many of them will say that they already bar users under 13 to comply with the 1998 federal law. But younger children, they put on false birth dates. They work around these things when their parents are not paying attention. And so that is a big part of the problem. Another challenge is that most children targeted by these laws don't have official identification. They don't have driver's licenses. And a lot of parents aren't necessarily tech savvy enough or aware enough on how to go about enforcing age rules for their children. The parents can't be looking at them necessarily 24/7. And so these are some of the reasons why lawmakers feel they need to step in.
The law doesn't specify which platforms, but how have social media companies responded to it?
We have heard from TikTok saying that the company has policies in place to protect teens and will continue to work to keep that platform safe. The other ones didn't provide comment, but they are represented by a nonprofit called NetChoice. NetChoice is a trade group whose members do include TikTok and Meta platforms and others. And so that group is representing them. They've also sued lawmakers in Arkansas, Ohio, and Utah that tried to ban minors from using social media platforms without parental consent. And they had success in Arkansas and Ohio. And then we saw in November a Montana bill banning TikTok in the state. That was blocked by a federal judge, but that's another effort to protect these social media platforms from these kinds of laws.
What was the rationale behind the law?
The rationale behind it is mainly concerns that these platforms are dangerous for young folks. There has been a number of studies linking social media use among young adults to a higher risk of depression, mental health challenges, and they can be vulnerable to online bullying and predators. We saw more than 40 states sue Meta last year, alleging that the company misled the public about the dangers of its platforms. And the Wall Street Journal's Facebook file series in 2021 provided a detailed look at some of the issues that the law is trying to address.
Could this legislation have an impact beyond Florida?
It all depends on how successful these laws are. And if we get one that's really successful, you will see other states try to use that as a blueprint to do the same kind of thing.
That was our reporter, Sarah Needleman. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. Coming up, how is big tech planning to meet the growing energy demands of the AI boom? That's after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Every year, thousands of energy industry leaders gather in Houston to hash out deals and haggle over plans to tackle climate change. Our reporter Catherine Blunt attended this year's conference, called CERAWeek by S&P Global. And she says that this year's big obsession was artificial intelligence. Energy and tech executives alike are trying to figure out how to meet the huge energy needs for AI. Catherine Blunt joins me now with more. Catherine, what are some of the energy industry's concerns about the AI boom?
Pretty much everybody was talking about AI. And it's because with the recent advances that we've seen in generative AI, there's a lot of questions about where we're going to get enough electricity to power these massive data centers needed to make further advances. And there wasn't a great deal of consensus on how much electricity is going to be needed because it's dependent on a few factors. You know, does chip making become more efficient, or how quickly does it actually move? But everyone agreed that there is going to be a very substantial uptick in demand related to this, and that has great implications for utility companies, utility customers, independent power providers, lots of questions.
What's the time frame for this increase?
Well, that's also a question as well. Bill Gates spoke and he said that certainly for the next decade, we're going to be trying to sort through these questions. There's going to be a lot more power needed. And the thing about all of this is that if you think about a utility company or, you know, a power provider, plans are made on a multi-decade basis to build a new power plant, whatever that may be, is, you know, it's a capital intensive project. It's supposed to be around for many years. So we're still trying to sort that out, but it has the potential to have implications for decades.
And are we talking about this issue in the context of just the U.S., or is it going to affect the entire world?
It's going to affect the entire world. There was a lot of discussion in the U.S. context, given the U.S. companies that are heavily involved in pushing generative AI forward. But I heard an interesting stat while we were there that the world adds one new data center every 3 days. That's staggering to think about. So I would say that the implications for the U.S. we're going to see sooner than perhaps in Europe, say, but it already is a global conversation and will become more so.
You mentioned Bill Gates. Who were some of the other people there and what were they saying about this problem?
There was CEOs from several major power companies who all spoke to the fact that there needs to be a great deal of coordination in order to make this happen. I mean, this is a potential boom in electricity demand is coming at a really interesting time, right? We're also seeing increases in demand tied to electric vehicles. We expect the same will happen as more homes and businesses transition away from natural gas to use more electricity for heating and cooking and functions like that. There's just a lot of money needs to be deployed to make this happen. And utility company executives spoke to that fact. And it certainly raises questions about how to make this kind of equitable for customers. There's certainly questions about affordability right now.
What were some of the discussions around where this energy is coming from?
So when we think about the utility sector, we think about the tech sector, many companies have set targets to substantially reduce their carbon emissions over the next few decades. A lot of companies have a net zero by 2050 goal or something similar to that, which requires bringing new clean sources of power online. So whether that be a utility company building a solar or wind farm and retiring fossil fuel generation, or a tech company contracting for that clean power. What was very interesting was to hear acknowledgement that we are probably going to need so much more electricity that this clean energy transition may slow in certain places. Certainly a few years ago, it was very rare to hear conversations about building new natural gas plants because it seems incongruous with the clean energy goals. These things have to be around for many years. But I was talking to several utility companies that say we can't do it without new gas. For the tech companies, this presents a kind of a quandary, right? They have been so vocal about clean energy for a long time. And yet, at this point, they're starting to have conversations with natural gas producers. EQT is a big natural gas producer. And that executive said that they've been in conversations with tech companies who basically say, like, how fast can you move and how much gas can we get? So the discussion is beginning to change. At this point, most companies feel as though they can still hit their targets, but it's becoming more complicated. We'll have to see how this continues to evolve.
It sounds like we're going to see more pressure on everyone in the coming years. What could this mean for the average energy customer?
In the near term, simply the amount of money that needs to be deployed to make this happen has the potential to make electricity more expensive. And we're already seeing that for a number of different reasons. We're talking right now about building new power plants to supply these data centers. There's also the need to invest in the wires to deliver that energy. So like big transmission lines or making small distribution lines more robust. This is an expensive proposition that may have consequences for customers. You're really already starting to see that to happen. Utility companies say ultimately at the end of this, or at least after a certain period of time, they'll be selling a lot more power. More revenue will be coming in because more of this commodity is being delivered, which may help with price pressure over time, but we're in for a pretty complicated few years at least.
That was our energy reporter, Catherine Blunt. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.